at Corinth a little bit last week, and the church at Corinth was the one church that Paul spent the most amount of time with. He was there the longest period of time, and like I said last week, he wrote the most letters to the church in Corinth. He wrote four letters, although we only have 1 and 2 Corinthians. There were four that were originally written. And so there was a big effort put into that church there in Corinth. And yet, ever notice that the more you love somebody and the more you try to give into their life, that the worse they can come back and hurt you? You know, your kids are good at that, people that you've helped out, you know, in the neighborhood or in the church or whatever. Same thing's happening here with the church at Corinth. And so, Paul is writing back. First of all, this is the first instance of denominationalism in the New Testament. People are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Silas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. And so they've already split into four denominations there in one city. And so the devil was working overtime. All right? And so Paul goes on, as we're reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he goes on to talk about the power of the gospel message. The gospel message. And as a matter of fact, the term evangelize or the evangelist is just talking about the one who brings the good news. That's the gospel message, is the good news. And what better news is there than there's a way out of this mess? Amen? There's a way out of whatever is besetting us. There's a friend that will come in Jesus Christ, and he'll walk with us through this situation and see us out the backside. He'll either see us safely out the backside of the situation, or he'll see us in glory. Amen. Paul says, you know, hey, I don't know what's worse, you know, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So if we make it through this together, that's great. We've walked in victory and gain. But if we don't make it alive, hey, that's good too. Because now we're face to face with Jesus. You know, when you have that kind of attitude, then you're kind of difficult to keep down, to get depressed, to defeat in battle. You just keep coming back and coming back. The Vikings used to have a saying before they would rush into battle. They would say, today is a good day to die. All right, now we sound like that. We say, ooh, that sounds kind of gruesome. All right, but they had the attitude, hey, I'm just going to fight the best that I can, and if I end up losing my life, well, this is as good a day as any. All right, and so they just had that warrior's attitude, and that's what God has for us. We're called, not only are we the body of Christ, but Paul says that we are warriors, spiritual warriors. And so he then comes in verse 18, and he talks about the gospel message. To the world, the Savior, God Almighty, dying on a cross is foolishness. What can you be talking about? How can you have victory through a God who let His creation put Him on a cross? What kind of a victorious God is that? When He comes to earth to bring love and salvation, and He allows His creation to put Him on the cross. Well, that's kind of, you know, what the devil's goal was. But the devil didn't realize that all of Jesus' life was focused on that exact moment. To be hung on that cross. Because Jesus came into this world knowing He had a mission in front of Him at 12 years old. Told Mom and his stepdad, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Amen? I've got to be about my Father's business. He knew that he was a boy of destiny. And when you see him as an adult, leading his disciples, You recognize that he sees himself as a man of destiny, and he sees his followers as people of destiny. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we are predestined. We are a people of destiny. And when you realize that you have a destiny, then anything that happens in your life can only bring you to the fulfillment of that destiny. If God has a destiny for you, he's going to make that happen. Amen? All right. And so he's talking about this message of salvation. Well, that's just stupid. Let somebody hang you on a cross if you're, you know, as the Pharisee said, if you're the Son of God, then come down off of that cross. Even the thieves did that. Save yourself and us. Amen? That's just stupid, hanging up there on that cross. That's right. But in verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Yeah, this doesn't look like a wise thing to the world. But it says, and I will And the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. See, humankind can't wrap its mind around Jesus. We like to think that I've got 3 or 4, 5 or 6 initials after my name. I'm one of them educated fools. Amen? I got this life figured out. I know a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I know what's right and what's wrong, and I know what's possible and what's not. And that's death on the cross stuff. Now that just doesn't compute. And Jesus says, that's right. That's because you in the world cannot understand the wisdom of God. If you could understand, if you could get your mind wrapped around God, then you would be like God. And we ain't. My poor mother. Her bachelor's degree was in English. And I just know that every time I revert to French and use ain't or whatever, good excuses any, that she's just having one of them twitches. Okay. Oh, Lord, pray for my boy. Okay. And so Paul, he's throwing down the gauntlet here. He's making the challenge. You know, a couple weeks ago, the president of Venezuela said, hey, you're coming after me? Come and get me. I'm waiting for you. That night, they came for him. You know, people said, Trump invaded Venezuela. No, he was invited. You didn't see the TV? He was invited. All right? And this is the same thing here. Paul is throwing down the gauntlet. Who is wise? Who is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Amen. About the time you figure you got God all pushed into a box somewhere, he's just going to pop out somewhere else. Amen. When I graduated from seminary, I said, I am so wise. I am such the sole possessor of the wisdom of the ages that I want to write a systematic theology. A systematic theology describes everything about God, what God can do and can't do. He let me write that systematic theology, then proceeded to just pop all out of it. He did, I'm not going to fit here. Nope, not going to fit there. And everything that I thought I knew about God, he just went ahead and said, na 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 na. You can't describe me. Why? Because he's beyond our wisdom. Amen? Okay, so so we go through all of this. The Jews demand signs. The Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But we want to go back to the very beginning, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to the perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And all the way through this, we're just going to look very quickly at foolishness and power, foolishness and power. First of all, in verse 18, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Did you know that we are being saved 3 times? The Bible talks about 3 tenses of the verb saved. Now, the first salvation, the first saved is when we are saved from the punishment of sin. Amen? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, at that moment we have been saved from the punishment of sin. We're no longer the devils. We belong to Jesus. Amen? Then, as we walk in our Christian life, we are continually being saved from the power of sin. See? Because as we get more of God's Word into us, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against Thee. And so, the sin no longer possesses us. That was the first one. No longer possesses us. Number two, it's losing. It's a gradual thing as we grow in Jesus. Sin is losing its power over us. Amen? So hopefully we are walking in a little bit more freedom now than we were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago whenever we got saved. Hopefully we are. And then lastly, we are saved from the presence of sin. When does that happen? When we go to heaven. We will be saved from the very presence of sin. And so our salvation is threefold. No longer are we possessed by sin. No longer and then as a gradual thing, sin no longer has power over us as we grow in our faith. And ultimately, we're not even in the presence of sin when we're in the presence of Jesus. Amen? Isn't that good? And so, right here in verse 18, it's talking about that for those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So it's talking about the second salvation. We're saved from the penalty of sin, but now the power of sin, we are being saved. Amen? And I can look back over my life, and when I was first saved, I had a lot of things that had control over me. And then, as God began to work the work of sanctification in my life, there are fewer and fewer things that have power over me. Now, I will tell you, as I was sharing last week, God did give me a kickstart. In that, when I got saved, there was so much garbage in my life, that he just had to say, oh, he doesn't need that, he doesn't need that, he doesn't need that. So the day after, the morning after I got saved on a Wednesday night, the morning after I got saved, Thursday morning, I had an 8 o'clock class at University of Michigan. Usually I'm going to push myself up on my bed, and there's a pack of cigarettes there, and there's a little homemade cigarette sitting there. We'll just leave it at that, okay, kind of homemade. And that's how I would start my day off, okay? And so the day after I'm saved, I jump out of bed and I say, let's go to school. And I got ready and I went to my first hour class and I went all the way through that day, and it was that night. I said, I haven't smoked a cigarette, haven't smoked a joint, haven't drank any alcohol, I haven't done all of this stuff, which was a daily habit that I had. Why? Because God reached down into my heart and said, I don't have enough time to get this boy where he needs to go with all this garbage in there. So he just reached in and took it out. And so I have to be careful, because I see how quickly God delivered me entirely from some of these sins. And sometimes when I'm dealing with people, I want to say, just walk away from it like I did. And God says, no, you didn't do anything. I did that for you. Okay, just cool your jets. All right, everybody grows in Jesus at their own rate. Okay, but let's go ahead and jump down into... verse 28. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. If we came into the kingdom of God as super warriors, people that have all of the answers of life, then any victories that we might have, we could turn back and say, yeah, I did that. My superior intellect. All right? And God doesn't share His glory with anybody. Not me, not you, not anybody. And so that's why He took disciples who were stinky fishermen and tax collectors and people that were on the, well, what is it when you're slow? You're on the spectrum. On the spectrum, okay? And I mean, he had those kind of, and that's who he chose to teach to build his church. Why? So it was God who got the glory, not him. So that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus. God is. God is the source of our life. Amen? Oh yeah, eat a good breakfast. Breakfast of champions. No, it's God. Don't give up. No, don't take that. Patrick Dale said you don't have to eat breakfast. No, you have to eat. But understand that my life, the victory that I have, the joy that I have, the things that we celebrate is because of God, not of me. God, He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God. Amen? And so it's not what you have figured out, it's what God is doing in your life, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen? And so I'm here today to tell you, you know what? Everyone in this room is going to fail God in one way or another. If not today, tomorrow. Alright? That's how it is. We're flesh. Now we are in the process of being strengthened, in the process of learning how to say no. We're in this process, and I don't say this to give you license to go out and do something. Pastor Bill said, I'm going to fail, so I might as well fail big. Hi, Pastor, yeah, I robbed the bank, and no, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm not that I'm giving you license, but the bottom line is, we're still in the flesh, boys and girls. We're in the flesh, and as long as we're in the flesh, flesh does stupid things. That's all there is. Flesh does stupid things. That's why the Bible says that we've got to be filled by the Spirit of God so we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Because if we let the flesh run with it, there's going to be a call to 911 in there somewhere. Okay? As long as we stay in the flesh, we're going to mess up. And so, it's okay. Paul tells us, God is telling us in His Word, this victory over sin is a day-by-day thing. It's a day-by-day thing. Even Paul, at the end of his life, said, at the end of his life, oh, wicked man that I am, who is able to deliver me from this body of bondage? He understood. Earlier, when he was young and full of vim and vinegar and all that good stuff, and he was wrong, oh, you want to know what it's like to follow Jesus? Lead your life after me. Just follow me. Together we're going to love Jesus. All right? That's a young preacher talking there. That's someone who hasn't tasted too much of life yet. Later on, after he's been in jail a few times and had to get out of Dodge before Dodge took it out of him, he had, then he says, oh, wicked man that I am, who is able to deliver me from this body of bondage. Amen? And so we are in the process of overcoming this flesh. Amen? And I praise God every time that I go through a situation and I look back and I say, I didn't revert to the flesh. Hey, all right, victory. All right, kudos. All right, it was God that gave me the victory over that. But we are in the flesh. I would like to say that we are living in sinless perfection right now, but not even the Apostle Paul could say that he was living in sinless perfection. We are already perfect in God's eyes. The Father says, I see you in Jesus. Therefore, because he's seeing Jesus when he looks at us, well, Jesus is perfect. And so that's how God the Father chooses to see us. And praise God for that. But as long as we have to wrestle with that old flesh, there are going to be times when it's possible for it to get the best of us, usually when we're tired, usually maybe when we've been a little sick or whatever, and our bodies are a little fatigued and our spirits are a little bit down, devil knows just the right time to strike. That's why it's so important to take care of ourselves. And, you know, it's okay to take a nap in the afternoon. Taking a nap in the afternoon is not surrendering to old age. Taking a nap in the afternoon is just facing reality, all right? We can't make it through a whole day without a nap or two. When I do, oh man, I know what the next, all right? But to know that when we do have a failure in our lives, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen? All we have to do is confess that to Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. And that's, I boast in Jesus. Amen. At one time I thought, really, I was stupid, what can I say? When I got saved, I said, I had this passing moment. I said, Lord, what a deal you got when you got me. I wasn't full of myself or anything like that. And I went through all of these talents that I had, just telling Jesus how lucky he was, all right? And one by one, he took those things away from me. He said, oh, this is what makes you think you're so big and bad. We'll just take this away from you. And one of the things, I used to be a pretty decent drummer. So I was kind of bragging on that. And he said, okay, you're not ever going to touch a drum again until I say so. And it was years before I even picked up a drumstick. Because he looked at that and said, those drums will get Dale into trouble because he thinks he's pretty all that and a cheeseburger. Okay? And so the things that I in my pride was bragging about, yeah, God, you got a pretty good deal. He took all of those away from me. And then, one by one, when he knew that I could handle it without taking the glory for myself, he might give them back to me. There are some things that I never got back. There's a Harley Davidson out there somewhere. And at 73, I don't think I'm ever going to see that Harley Davidson again. And Terry says, at 73, I'll make sure you don't ever see that Harley Davidson. All right. And so, but you see, that's Paul also talks about the deceitfulness of the flesh. The flesh would like to deceive you into thinking that each one of us are so very special because of our own talents. Again, it's not us. It's what God has done through us. Amen? Okay, so we just said the one verse that is ever so important. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can go ahead and stop the tape, and we're going to go into our time of communion.